I'm Mary Walter, and we are here. I'm here with Vince Connies.
All right, how's this for a bio? Nearly 30 years in federal law enforcement, U.S. Air Force Security Police, Uniform Division of the Secret Service, Federal Air Marshal, and author of the New York Times bestseller Crisis of Character, all about the time protecting Hillary Clinton in the White House. The guy's name's Gary Byrne. He's a former Secret Service officer, and he's the author of a new book, Secrets of the Secret Service, and he's here in studio today. Gary, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks. Thank you for having me.
Really glad to have you. So tell us, why'd you write the new book? I remember when your other one came out, when Crisis of Character came out, there was a crisis of credibility. Everyone was attacking you and trying to undermine you because you couldn't, you know, you can't stop the momentum of Hillary Clinton. And now you've written another one, this time about the Secret Service specifically. What's in the book and why'd you write it?
Yeah, I wrote Secrets of the Secret Service because I want the American people to know the truth about the Secret Service. They are a good group of men and women that are trying to do the right thing, but the Secret Service's executive level has steered the Secret Service in the wrong direction over many years. And they've let that agency get so big that they can't get out of their own way. And I felt like it's my duty now to come out and tell the truth about the Secret Service. Listen, it needs to be rebuilt. And then one of the first things they need to do is get rid of the name secret. There's no legal ramification for this word secret that they use. And what they do with that word secret is they hide behind it. Most people don't realize this, but in 2015, the director of the Secret Service had to admit to Congress publicly that with almost a $2 billion budget, they didn't have an accounting system or an actual accountant. They had no idea where their money was going and what they were spending it on.
So there's the secret.
That's part of the secret.
We found it.
Yeah. And another secret is that the Uniform Division of the Secret Service, who used to be the Executive Protection Service, who used to be the White House Police many years ago, has been taken over by the agents and almost destroyed. And here's a little statistic that I figured out in my research for the book is there's 1,300 Uniform Division officers approximately right now in the Washington, D.C. area, at the White House, Vice President's residence. In the next 3 to 5 years, 1,100 of those 1,300 people are eligible for retirement. And they're not really ramping up their pace to replace them. And my fear is that one of the things that the agents of the Secret Service have always been trying to do is get rid of the Uniform Division. And Congress, they promised Congress years ago that that's not what they were doing when they started taking over more control of the Uniform Division. But I'm afraid it is. And my book, Secrets of the Secret Service, takes you through a history of the Secret Service, the mistakes that they've made, and the mistakes that they're making today. And they just keep repeating history.
And that happens a lot. Let's talk about the Secret Service and these accusations of politicization of the Secret Service. Do you believe that that has happened? And when did it happen?
Yeah, I watched it happen. I would tell you that it probably happened a little bit in every administration here and there. But I always interpreted it when I was there, the 12 years that I was there, that it kind of got reeled back in. But when the Clintons came into office, it fell off the wheels. I will tell you that, I mean, you can't get anybody in the Secret Service executive level to admit this now, but up until the point where Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton into the ground in this last election, everybody in the Secret Service knew that the next director of the Secret Service was going to be a man named A.T. Smith, because he had a relationship with one of the Clinton administration. Eventually, they got married, and everybody knew that he was going to be the Clinton's Secret Service director until she lost. It has been politicized, and it's kind of hard not to, but, you know, here's the thing. If you're the director of the Secret Service, and this is where Congress comes in, they need to write better laws to protect the Secret Service and give them a little bit more control. And I know that sounds a little crazy, but if you're the president of the United States and you don't want the Secret Service using sirens and lights, for instance, I talk about this in the book, to go through the town, you know, in a motorcade to protect, because that's part of our protection package. And you say, well, Mr. President, we have to do this to protect you. And he says, well, you know what? Your next budget, I'm going to knock you down $300 million, and you won't have the money to do it. And that's the thing. Congress needs to help protect the Secret Service so they can help protect the protectee.
Is that something that President Trump has said? He doesn't want
no,
the sirens?
No. This is something that happened during the Clinton administration.
Okay.
Something that happened during the Clinton administration where they, from the minute the Clintons walked in, they were trying to knock down the security procedures for hiring people that the Secret Service and the FBI had working since the Eisenhower administration. It worked very well.
Why? But,
well, they did that because a lot of their employees, even at the senior level, had criminal records. They were not, you know, the best of people. some of them had criminal records that were, you know, it wasn't just DUIs and marijuana. There was one person in the administration whose business partner had been arrested for trafficking cocaine. So, I mean, that's some serious stuff. And these are things that, and they have this background check in this system to protect the administration from embarrassing things coming up later on. And the Clintons did everything they could to take it apart.
Do the rank and file sort of share your opinion of this, or is there a lot of grumpiness within the Secret Service when you make comments like this about there being dysfunction there?
I'll tell you that most of the people... Well, most of the people that are now there are so young that they don't know me from Adam.
Right.
There are a few still there. I will tell you that most of them appreciate what I'm doing because I'm using their voice. I'm talking for them, and I am. I've gotten messages acknowledging that. That it can't come out publicly. I'm in a unique position. I'm retired. When I went in, there was no confidentiality agreement, and I kind of took... One of the things your listeners might not remember about me is I was the first employee of the Secret Service in history to ever be compelled to testify against a sitting president in a criminal law case, and that was the Bill Clinton impeachment Monica Lewinsky scandal. And so I guess I'm kind of taking, you know, if you force me to testify six times or subpoena me six times and kind of destroy my career inside the Secret Service, well, then I guess I'm going to come out and tell the truth. And that's the whole thing. This is the truth. And you know, when my first book came out and people, you know, said I couldn't have the access and I was lying, my first answer was I was subpoenaed six times. If I didn't have the access, why did they want me?
Why are they interested in my opinion?
Right. And two, I got where I am by taking a polygraph test. So... That's, you know, and I want my voice to be heard because I want the people that are in the Secret Service now that are good men and women, these GS-13s and 12s and these uniformed division officers, that there may be hope. They may, you know, maybe the Trump administration will try to fix the Secret Service. They have hired a director that is not a former Secret Service agent. He's a former Marine Corps general. The problem is that he is only getting information from that level in the Secret Service, and they want to keep that executive level, and they want to keep what they have. That's their whole thing. They're empire builders.
Right, so he's not getting anything from the people who are actually doing the job. And that's
my fear.
And that structure happens, you see it in private business, you see it in government. The people who are actually doing the job have no input into the higher levels.
Yeah.
To tell them, you know, this is what we need, We have
right.
So many questions here.
Yeah.
We have more coming up with Gary Byrne in just a moment.
Including why you think that President Trump has a serious danger posed to him by the current state of the Secret Service. I'd
sure.
love to know what you think about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Secrets of the Secret Service. Talking to him in studio today. Gary, you mentioned in your book that the president of the United States, the current president, the Secret Service poses a serious danger to President Trump. What does that mean? What's going on?
Well, first of all, I don't want you to get the impression that there's some kind of conspiracy. There's not.
But right, right.
What I know is the Secret Service history. And here's what I know. That the Secret Service, the men and women in the uniform division and the agent division are pushed beyond normal work abilities. They are the average uniform division officer makes $70,000 to $100,000 a year. That should be their base pay. These guys are making, one of them made more than the Secretary of Homeland Security. They are working them to death. During the campaign, there were agents that they reached a ceiling in their pay. They're only allowed to be paid so much, and they ended up working as much as $60,000 in overtime. They're working these guys to death, and that's the way they've always done it. They did it when I started there in 1991. They never hire enough people. They take the money that they're supposed to be using for hiring people, and they build their infrastructure. History will tell us that we know that President Barack Obama a few years ago went down to Atlanta, Georgia, to the CDC, and in one day, the Secret Service, through a folly of mistakes, let a man with a handgun get on the elevator three times with him. If this guy had malice in his heart, he'd have murdered Barack Obama. You can't let these kind of things happen. And then in the Secret Service, the most telling thing about this is that then the Secret Service goes and tries to hide it. And they try to, they report to Congress, the director reports to Congress what they want them to hear until Congress says, well, we have a whistleblower that came forward and said this, this, and this. And then the director looks them in the eye and goes, do I need to change my testimony?
So all this overworking leads to exhaustion, leads to a lack of vigilance.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So tell me, you also mentioned in the book about Hillary Clinton's use of that Scooby van. That actually posed some problems for the Secret Service, you say, during the last election.
It does. It's not a real armored vehicle. And I don't know exactly why they use it. There's a couple of reasons. I do know this. They used it to make her look a little bit more human or like a soccer mom, uh-huh. you know, as opposed to a limousine or a big SUV. And part of the problem is she does. She has a hard time climbing into
it's the same type of van you get kidnapped in. I'm not sure why it would be
no, right, exactly.
more appealing.
Exactly. And she puts herself in danger by insisting on this. And also, too, you have to, I came to the conclusion after while I was writing my book, Secrets of the Secret Service, is that they're not really protecting Hillary Clinton anymore. They're like armed Uber. Because if she's dictating how close they can be, yeah, if she's dictating how close they can be to her, and she talks about this in her book. Oh, we get along just fine as long as they don't get too close to me. Well, that's not protection. The Secret Service has procedures, and there are rings of concentric security around you. If you, like in Mrs. Clinton's case, she wants to dictate what they protect her in as far as a vehicle, that vehicle is not going to stop rifle ammunition. It's not going to stop 308. It's not going to stop a small explosive. It just makes her more comfortable. And the Secret Service, unfortunately, protection is not about comfort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it does have those double doors. So they can just throw her in like a side of beef when she collapses.
Which is what they exactly did. You're exactly right. And so it leads you to believe, it leads me to say that they're not really protecting her anymore. It's just the taxpayers spending a lot of money.
So let me ask you a question about that. Why would she not want the Secret Service near her when these are the people who are literally putting their lives on the line to protect her? She knows she has a lot of enemies. Why wouldn't she want that and allow these people to do their job to the best of their ability? That's such a disconnect for me.
Right. So I go back to the early 90s when I first started protecting them. In the first 2 months, everything was fine. She actually, we seemed to get along with her just well. And then as soon as she tried to push forward her version of healthcare and it failed, it's like something snapped in her. And she became so angry towards the officers and the agents and the military people that worked around there. I talked about in my first book, Crisis of Character, that she got so angry one day sitting in the limousine on the South Lawn that she punched and it hit an agent in the back of the head with a Bible. She struck a Secret Service agent with a Bible in the back of the head.
I find it more amazing that her skin wasn't burning because she was touching a Bible.
Yeah, well, somebody asked me about that one time when I was giving a speech, and I said, my personal feeling, and I know this is tough to hear, but when you see Hillary Clinton with a Bible, it's a prop. That's all it is. I'm sorry. Based on the way I've seen her act.
Well, she gave that man religion. I would really want to thank you, Gary Byrne. There's so many more details. We have more time. Look at that. Mike McKay delivering me an extra minute. I love you. Thank you. Let me ask you real quick. You cover some of the history here. The Battle of Blair House, this idea of a firefight between Secret Service officers and assassins who were looking to murder President Harry Truman.
Yeah.
Get into the details in the book.
Sure. Harry Truman's living in the Blair House in the early 50s, right down the street from where we're sitting now. And these Puerto Rican nationals wanted to assassinate Truman, so they show up at the White House, and it's two of them, and one's very experienced with the gun, and the other one's not. And he pulls this gun out, and the first shot, he gets a click. He gets the gun working. Another assassin, the other one, walks up to behind a police officer, Leslie Coffelt, the only Secret Service employee to ever be murdered protecting the president. And he shoots Coffelt two or three times in the back. Coffelt goes down. The gunfight ensues. Some point in the gunfight, Coffelt stands up, takes his last shot, and hits the guy in the back of the head. And that died. I don't want to give the impression I knew Coffelt, but I do get a little choked up when I tell that story. But that's the Battle of Blair House, and that's what the real uniform division is supposed to be doing in the Secret Service, and they've lost their way.
Gary Byrne, he's a former Secret Service officer, the author of the new book, Secrets of the Secret Service, that story and many more inside this new book. Gary, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good
thank
to
you.
Have you here this morning. 752.
You too.
752 here on WMAO.
Hey, it's...